Joe Tate, and I have a podcast that takes a look back at my sports broadcast career. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
It's time for another edition of Over the Timeline with Joe Tate. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed without a smile, servicing residents in Medina, Summit, and Wayne counties. Hometown Dental. Joe joins us to talk about one of my favorite Cavaliers players, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Joe, when you get a name like that, how long does it take you to learn the correct pronunciation for that?
You immediately go to Z.
That's right. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Zydrunas Ilgauskas, a longtime center for the Cleveland Cavaliers. When he was drafted in 1996, he was not our first choice in that round. I remember we got Vitali Potapenko, or Potapenko, as it sometimes came out in the early days of that. What was the deal with the Cavaliers at that point, picking two centers, two big men in that draft? Do you recall anything from that time?
Yeah, the reason being that Potapenko, Potapenko, or I'm trying to remember now, everybody jumped on Potapenko.
Right, I remember that.
Like, it sounded like a pickup truck going over the railroad tracks, Potapenko. And that it stayed that way, and Vitali said he didn't care, but his mom and dad showed up to see their son play, and they also happened to hear one of my broadcasts, and when they heard I was using the Potapenko, they got very upset because that's not the way you say Potapenko. Or it was the other way around. I don't remember.
I think it was. Well, a Ukrainian basketball player. And Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Lithuanian.
Yep.
They were drafted together. Did they get along? They sort of show up together? You're the big man. I'm the big man.
Ilgauskas... They knew he had physical problems with that foot, and therefore it was going to require some surgery to correct the problem so that he would then be able to play on a regular basis. So Vitali was the guy they got. He was the Ukrainian that they got to take the place of the Lithuanian until the Lithuanian could play.
Uh-huh. Were these some of the newer, for the Cavs, was this their introduction to international players?
Yes. Yes, they were. And fortunately for the Cavs and for all of us, they were both really good guys. I mean, they enjoyed each other's company, and they assimilated themselves into the Cleveland atmosphere very, very nicely, and they were fun to be around. And
now you knew a little Russian. Did any of that translate to you, Ukraine, or to Lithuania, and in those sense?
Yeah, there was Vitali would talk Russian on occasion, and I remember we were on a bus someplace, and there. He and Z were in a long conversation, and they were speaking in Russian because that was how they talked when they didn't want the rest of the world to know what they were talking about. And I was sitting in the seat in front of the two of them, and then I, at the right moment, I turned, and I can't even remember what I said, but it was in good Russian, and they're both... looked at me like, I was part of the KGB. They were, who is this big fat kid sitting up there smiling at us, speaking perfect Russian? I had to explain to them that I had learned Russian when I was in the service.
Right. Well, how many other players, even coaches or members of the Cavs staff, knew that about you, Joe? I mean, it was just like...
Not too many. I don't think any of them cared, to tell you the truth. As long as what I did on the air came out in English, they were happy, and so was I.
That's good. Well, the other thing about that draft in 2000 or 1996 is everyone points out that Kobe Bryant went after Vitali. That was the next pick in the draft. But circumstances, you never know, based on where Kobe wanted to play, whether that would have been a benefit to the Cavs to select it. But it's one of those that's in the books, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, he was from Marion, Pennsylvania, out of high school, and he turned out to be quite a talent in his own right.
Yep. So you have these two big guys playing for the Cavaliers. Here's a little bit from the game of March of 2002, and you mentioned how Z has gone through different types of foot issues, and I guess there was a time where he got healthy, played a little bit, had some more injuries. Here's a little bit of what he looked like or sounded like in March of 2002 against the New Jersey Nets.
Down the floor to Kidd. Kidd left wing, down deep to Kenyon Martin. Fights it up. Shot blocked by Z. Out to Williams. Put it back up. No. Rebound Williams again. Out to Van Horn. Topside Kittles. Three ball. No. On the floor. Rebound grabbed by Z.
That's a game against the New Jersey Nets where the Cavs won 100-97 with a last-minute shot, which we'll get to. It's a kind of an interesting highlight that will play. What do you remember most about Z and his time with the Cavaliers? Was it just his sort of determination to get back on the floor to play? Kind of a team player, was he?
Yeah, he went through, I forget how many surgeries. In fact, at the end, they finally took him to Johns Hopkins and completely undid all of the previous surgeries and nuts and bolts and screws and everything else they had put in there, and then they rebuilt the foot completely. And I remember Z telling me that he says, "It doesn't feel like my foot anymore." He says, I don't have any feeling there." And he said, "That's the first thing I had to get used to, was I was playing on a foot that was attached to me but didn't feel like it was attached to me." And he went through, I think, 11 procedures before it was
all set. Did you ever get a glimpse of his foot? I mean, I don't know the extent of that, but obviously it must have gone. And this was just one foot, right? Or did he have issues on both of his legs or ankles?
I believe it was the one foot that was the primary problem, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember when it was like he was on the team, but he was off the team, you know, just rehabbing and eventually coming back. But, I mean, he was a big part of the team, no pun intended, when he was on the court, for sure.
No doubt. He was a talent. And the one thing I think that I remember, I got to know Z pretty well, and he was telling me that he always wanted to play against Arvydas Sabonis, who was the Lithuanian Michael Jordan. And and Arvydas Sabonis ended up playing in the NBA briefly with the Portland Trail Blazers, and he was a massive man, huge, and a great talent. He had command of his physique to the point where he really dominated when he was in there, but he too had undergone several surgeries, and because of it had lost a step. But they came to Cleveland, and Lithuania turned out, the Cleveland-Lithuanian community turned out that night, and they had Lithuanian flags, and people were singing Lithuanian songs, and they were just, it was a total involvement of the Lithuanian community. And Z got a chance to play against Arvydas Sabonis. And interestingly enough, now Arvydas Sabonis' son, Domantas Sabonis, is playing for the Indiana Pacers. And is also, I understand, I had not seen him play, but I understand that he is a talent in his own right.
Getting to the point now, we have second generation people of NBA stars of international acclaim playing in the NBA. We're going to have more with Joe Tate as we continue on Over the Timeline. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville.
Hi, I'm Joe Tate, here to tell you about Hometown Dental in Seville. They're my dentist, and they want to be your dentist for life. Hometown Dental offers same-day and evening hours to fit your schedule. And in emergencies like a broken tooth, they can always fit you in. All PPO insurance is accepted, and new patients are welcome. Call Hometown Dental on Center Street in Seville, or online, visit hometowndentalseville.com. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Talking to Joe Tate. Over the Timeline is the podcast. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental. Our topic today is the Z at the end of the alphabet, Zildjunas Ilgauskas. If I asked you to spell that, Joe, could you even attempt to do it?
I probably could. I wrote it into my book so many, many times that I'm pretty sure I could spell it if I had to.
Well, I won't make you do it today, even though on the sideline I do work as a pronouncer for the Lorain County Spelling Bee. But that's why you go with Z, right?
Yes, everybody did.
Certain names you have, I mean, you probably allow a certain space on your score sheet. And, you know, you write Steve Nash, that's in small letters, or some guy with initials, AJ such and such. But you have bigger names, you got to write small, have better penmanship to get it all fitted in there.
That is true.
So here's a little bit more from the New Jersey game against the Cavs back in March of 2002.
93-92 Cleveland, 2:04 to play. Into the forecourt, Andre Miller. Miller on the left wing. Into Ilgauskas against Williams. Kearns puts up the shot. Good again! Time out, New Jersey, as Zydrunas Ilgauskas in the last two ball games looks like the old Z.
Yeah, it was good. He scored 26 points in that, dominated the fourth quarter, according to the newspaper report. Season high, 14 rebounds, 14 and 17 on free throws. His best game since returning on December 4th from a foot injury that sidelined him nearly a year. So it's always good to, you know, what takes a while to get back. But he really was a great shot blocker. But I also thought, didn't he have a good touch on the line shooting free throws?
Yes, he did, as did most European players. They shot their free throws extremely well.
Just disciplined, I guess, is where it comes from, right? Just
they worked at it, yeah.
So the international players, I wondered about this, you know, there's a point where you start getting international players that come into it. I looked this up on Wikipedia, just so you know that, and I can't verify too much of this other than it says Hank Biasotta was born in Italy, raised in Canada, the first international player in the league in 1946. This is when it was, I guess, the BAA?
Yeah, Basketball Association of America.
Which evolved into the NBA, but he was also a baseball player as well, I think, for the Philadelphia Athletics. But it wasn't until that dream team went overseas for the Olympics, I guess, that probably sparked that global interest. At least that's the indication of a lot of folks, which realized, hey, our guys could play, because they had a chance to play against the best in the NBA and kind of get a feel for what that would be like.
There was another ball player who played baseball and was in the BAA with the Cleveland Rebels at their brief history. That was Frankie Baumholtz, who played for the Chicago Cubs.
And as you get more players, the pool of players and the talent rises, or are different types of players. Now it's not, you know, that's where the scouts go looking for their players, right, sometimes?
That's true. But they have, you know, they have such a pool of players to look at, just from a basketball standpoint, that they don't have a lot of Gene Conleys and people like that wandering around who could participate in both sports.
And, well, now your professional sports have become, you know, year-round practically.
That is correct.
And
yep.
you train, you practice, they have other things. You're an ambassador of sorts for the league, and that's the way that they are, you know, marketed and just become a part of it. But here's the end. Now, here's the end of this game. This is New Jersey Nets at the time. Jason Kidd's big star on their team at that point. Cavaliers have the last shot, and here's how it went down. All 1 minute, 9 seconds of this final ending here.
Miller to inbound the ball, half second to go. He looks, he fires to Lamont from the corner. It's good! Cavs win! Lamont Murray buried one from the corner, and the Cavaliers win it at the end of the game. Oh, my. New Jersey arguing, Cavs rejoicing. It was a three ball by Lamont Murray, and the Cavs are a winner 100-97. New Jersey gathered around the officials, who are now going to talk among themselves, and I don't like that. Cavs are going to leave the floor, going to get out of here. Let's go downstairs to Mike Snyder.
Lamont Murray, Lamont, tell us about the shot, man.
Yo, I just tried to get it off. He left me wide open in the corner. We had 0.5 to get it off. I got it off in time. It was money.
Lamont, what was the play going in?
It was going to Z for the lob, for the tip in, but we didn't get to it.
Now, you knew you just had to get it in fire.
Yeah, I had to get it in fire as quick as I could.
As much as you can in half a second. There was a discussion of whether the referees actually started the clock or something to that effect. I mean, Joe, how much is a half a second to do anything?
I'll tell you, we had some timekeepers there at the Cavs games that were real artists when it came time to, you know, make that clock start a millisecond too soon, or maybe hold it back just a millisecond too long. But that is the longest conversation I think Lamont Murray had with anybody in Cleveland in the time he was with us, because he usually was a very quiet young man. But he obviously was relishing the moment that he hit the game winner against New Jersey.
Well, you can see, but as the play was called as a tip-in, you know, one of those lobs, and have the big man in there sort of tip it in, but something else transpired at that point.
Well, those things happen, and I remember I had to be perfectly honest with you, I'd forgotten all about good old Lamont, but he rose to the occasion on that one, you know, in spite of the fact that the clock may or may not have been right in sync with the passage of time.
Right. You never know. At some point in some eras now, they would take another half hour for them to huddle around a table, review a tape, slow it down, figure things out, and who knows whether they would have given you the basket or not the way that
Well, now they pass it on to New York, and some guy sitting in New York makes the call as to whether it was legit or not correctly called. And, yeah, they've got somebody you can't see and you can't get to who is actually making the final decision.
Yep. Well, I'm sure there's been a lot of games over the years you've called at some point that they had changed those decisions. The legendary outcome would not be the same based on what happens, at the millisecond that they could see it. We've been speaking with Joe Tate today over the timeline. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville.